I did a pre-recording of part of my presentation
Amy has entered the room.
On the Seeing Eye GPS app. I'm going to play the recorded part first, and then I'll speak and half read the rest of it and tell you as much as I can. I happen to think the Seeing Eye GPS app is the best app out there for people who are using an iPhone who are blind, for just getting easy directions to a place and having it navigate you there. It doesn't have some of the bells and whistles that other apps have. Like, you can't save your own points of interest, as far as I know. There are some other things you can't do. You can save the last two routes that you used, but other than that, you can't save a list of them. So it has some things that it doesn't do, but it's very good, very basic, and very easy to learn and use. So let's see if I can get this recording to work. All right, I'm seated in my basement with my iPhone 5, and I'm ready to run the Seeing Eye app. Here goes.
Direction, Seeing Eye GPS XT. Look around, wand off. Button.
I'm going to talk about the look around wand, since it is the first thing that comes up. It gives you a lot of information based on which way the phone is facing. So let me just try it. Right now I have the phone facing 90 degrees to the left of the way I'm sitting.
Selected. Northeast, 308 feet. Hancock Park Southwest and Hancock Street Southeast and Northwest. Northeast, 03 miles. Other nightlife. Klonopin Land.
I'm going to turn the phone 90 degrees to the left.
Northwest, 02 miles, pool, talk pool.
And I'll try 90 degrees further to the left.
Southwest, 02 miles, bar, the frog pond.
I don't use the look around wand much. It can be overwhelming, and it doesn't work well unless you're relatively stationary.
Northeast.
I've now turned off the look around wand. And I'm going to just flick through all of the menu items.
Location. Direction northeast. Near 18 Trunfio Lane, Everett. Near SPOI Church. First United Parish Church. Location accuracy within 33 feet. Altitude about 105 feet. Routes. Button. Altitude about 105 feet.
That's interesting. It's telling me my altitude is 105 feet, but a few minutes ago I was at sea level, so my house must be rising.
Routes. Button. POIs. Button. Selected. Location. Button.
Location is the tab that you are on by default when you start the program. If I wanted to put a route in,
POIs. Routes.
I would
button.
Go to routes.
Back button. Look around, wand off. Route creation.
I have a few options here.
Create route to where? Route to home. Button.
From anywhere, if I hit route to home, because I've put my address in here previously, it will create a route back home.
Point of interest. Button.
I can go to a point of interest.
Address. Button.
An address.
History.
Or I can go to history, which will show me the last two routes I put in, which is a nice convenience. It would be even nicer if it held more than the last two. I'm going to select point of interest.
Text field is editing. Character mode. Points of interest.
And I'm going to pause the recording and type the word pizza. Now I've done that, and I put one finger on the very lower right-hand corner where the search button is, and I'm going to double tap that.
Back button. Look around, wand off. Points of Nana's Pizza.
And the closest pizza shop it found is Nana's.
Nana's Pizza, 416 Main Street, Everett, 02 miles west. Button.
And I'm going to select that.
Back button. Look around, wand off. Route creation. Nana's Pizza. Pedestrian. Button.
Now it wants to know, do I want pedestrian, vehicle fastest, vehicle shortest, and so on. It's a walking distance place, so I'm going to select pedestrian.
Pedestrian. 03 miles to destination. Estimated time 6 minutes. Facing direction is northeast, turn left. Start going northwest on Trunfio Lane toward Belmont Street. In 216 feet, turn left onto Belmont Street.
Now, if I were out there walking, when I approach the next turn, it would announce it and tell me which way to turn.
I'm now going to go to root details and just read through the root. It's a short one.
Back button. Look around, want root details. Start going northwest on Trunfio Lane toward Belmont Street. After 232 feet, turn left on Belmont Street. After 438 feet, turn left on Buckingham Street. After 211 feet, turn right on Bellingham Avenue. After 565 feet, turn right on Main Street. After 42 feet, Nana's Pizza, 416 Main Street is on left.
Let me just mention that once I selected Nana's as the route, one of the options on the screen was call. And if I had chosen that one, it would show me the phone number and I could double tap on it to call and order the pizza.
Now I want to just talk about it a little bit. And I made some notes. Most of them came right from the help module of the Seeing Eye app itself. And I also went on their website and read some stuff. But so instead of multiple layers of menus, the three most important navigation things are always on the lower portion of every screen. You have route, you have POIs, and you have location. And the default is location. And by the way, that thing about sea level, GPS devices are notorious for not giving a real accurate representation of the altitude. And this one says that if it's anything under 100 feet above sea level, it automatically says you're at sea level. So it talks about the location gives you the intersection. It says the street name and your direction of travel. It also describes, if it's a four-way, with it, it'll tell you which directions the streets are on the intersection. There are two choices for POI, point of interest data. You can either get the stuff from Foursquare or from TomTom, and it's just a matter of changing a setting. And directions are configured appropriately depending on whether you've selected a vehicular or a pedestrian route. It also has something called getting warmer, which it goes into automatically as you get to about 50 feet from your destination, but you can set it to do that type of a route from no matter how far away you are, and it basically just tells you you're getting closer or you're getting further away. That can have some uses in certain situations. If you wander off the route, it will automatically recalculate, and it tells you that it's doing it. You can type in the name of the place, and it'll try to find it, or you can do a search for all points of interest, and it gives you different categories that you can search in.
Jerry, I have a question.
Yeah.
Just about the general concept of carrying the phone around and using the GPS. Does it make any difference if you carry it in your pocket, if you hold it to your ear, if you put it in a backpack and use an earbud? As far as the accuracy as you're walking along for the information you receive?
No, it really doesn't, as far as I know. I always have it on my belt, and sometimes I have it upside down. There is a shake feature where you can shake the phone and it'll tell you what the nearest intersection is and the nearest point of interest. But that's supposed to be managed so that if you're just walking, it's not going to think you're shaking it. I mean, it does make a difference if you're using the wand. But as I mentioned in the recording, I don't use the wand that much. I'm going to go over a couple of things that are based on a set of frequently asked questions that Sendero has gotten about this. One of them is, do I need a data plan? And the answer is yes. You have to have a cellular data plan. This does not have maps that it downloads into the phone. So you do have to be online with cellular data to use it. Is it self-voicing? The answer is no. It uses voiceover. Can I get a trial of the app? The answer is no to that also. There are various ways you can purchase it. You can subscribe to it for a month. I think it's $9 or something like that. Then there's an annual subscription. And there's an extended version, which I believe costs $300, that gives you unlimited access to it forever. There are a lot of podcasts out there that you can find that will give you all kinds of information from people who have been using the app and have learned a lot about it. I'm an existing Sendero GPS customer. Can I get a discount? The answer is no. What countries is it available in? From what I understand right now, it's only the United States and Canada, although that may have changed very recently. And then somebody asked, Why doesn't Sendero have onboard maps? Because they do for most of their other products. And what it says here is that they looked at all the pros and cons, and they felt that it was better to have the maps available in a server. There's licensing that they would have to go through to be able to use on the phone maps, and they just decided not to go that route. Does the app function if it's running in the background? And the answer is yes. There are settings for that, but you can set it so that it will function, and I guarantee you it will take your battery and run it down fairly quickly, so you have to be careful about using it in the background. It says that you can share this app with more than one device if they're on the same account. If you lose cell phone coverage, what happens? You can continue on your route, but as long as you don't have cell phone coverage, it will not recalculate, and you could lose it. It actually looks at 1 square mile. That's how much it caches in its memory. So as long as you're within that range, it'll still work. I just want to end by saying that I really do think this is a very good app. I've had no problems with it. I've used it a lot, both in pedestrian and vehicle mode, and I find that it just works very well. It's easy to program. Probably one of the harder things is if you're going to type in an address for a route, it starts you out in the address field, and it assumes that the route you're going to is in the same city you're in right now. So if it isn't, you've got to go backward to those fields, the city and the state and so on, and manually changing them. If you forget to do that, it won't find the route. So that's one thing that I don't particularly like about it. But I do think it's a great app. I think for those who need it and use it a lot, it's probably worth the money. And with that, I'll open it up for questions.
Can you use Dictate, Jerry, to put in the address, or do you have to type it in?
I don't think you can use Dictate. I've never tried it, but if you did, it would be one field at a time, so it would still be cumbersome. Yeah.
So just for clarification, when you open the app, it doesn't immediately check where you're standing right now?
It does.
It does. Okay, so why am I getting this? This is a walking app. Why would you put in a different city as a destination from where you stand?
Well, no, it's not just a walking app. It's a walking and vehicle app. So you can put in a location anywhere in the country.
Jerry, with respect to a vehicle trip, does it have traffic awareness?
No, it does not.
When you're entering a route, do you have to be at the start point? Could I just enter a route like, you know, here I'm sitting in Cambridge, but for tomorrow I'd like to know in Newton, how am I going to get from here to there? Could I enter from here to there in Newton if I'm sitting in Cambridge?
I'll ask for second opinions on that, but unfortunately, I don't think you can. I think that's one of the drawbacks of this basic app. I don't think you can put in a route from one place to another if you're not at one of those places.
I believe that's correct. Yeah. I have used it, by the way. You know, sometimes if you're taking the ride and you wonder, where the hell am I? You know, some guy's been turning this way and that way, and you finally just say, where are we? You can bring this app up, and it will, within a few seconds, tell you where you are.
Yeah, that little route to the pizza shop that I put in, I was surprised what it did, because it probably gave me the shortest route. But if I were going to walk down there, I would turn left off my street, walk straight down Belmont to Main, make a left on Main, and then walk down until I came to the pizza shop. It had like 3 or 4 more turns than I would have made. But it will recalculate. If you start going the way you think you want to go, it will adapt to that.
You know, Jerry, you just reminded me of something. When I've used this app to go to places that I've known well, just to see how it worked, oftentimes it would take me down all the little side streets instead of just taking me the main easy route.
Yes.
And the difficulty with that is that there's nobody to talk to on those little side streets.
Perfect.
And if you don't know where you are, you can really be uncomfortable about testing out some of these little tiny side streets that it chooses.
Yeah, I agree.
So how do you set the location for home?
There's a settings area, and one of the options in there is home address. And once you put that in, it retains it. You can also in there set a number of things about how it describes locations, whether it's using metrics or imperial numbers and that sort of thing. Again, the route creation options, there are 4 of them. You can create a route to an address, a point of interest, to home, or to one of the last 2 places that you've gone. You can also tell it how much information you want it to give you on an ongoing basis as you're traveling. If you set it to tell you all points of interest that it sees close by, it'll talk to you almost nonstop if you're in a vehicle. You can also tell it whether you only want to hear things if you're below a certain rate of speed. I don't recall what that rate is. I think it might be 20 miles an hour or 40, so that it's not giving you stuff if you're going so fast that you're way beyond it by the time it finishes giving it to you.
In addition to my comment, the next thing I haven't tried this yet, but I was going to try switching it from pedestrian mode to, like, you know, automotive route to see if that would take me more on the main streets rather than all the little tiny side streets. Because when you're on little tiny side streets and you don't know where you are, you have no way of... and you can get a lot more information by traffic running alongside of you. It's just a lot easier to have more confident information when you're with the traffic than you are in all these little secluded areas.
Yeah, I've never tried that either, but I'll bet it would work. I bet if I had used the vehicle mode, it would have taken me right down Belmont to Main Street.
I'm going to try that next time.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Judy. How much does it cost?
I believe the non-subscription version is $300. Does anybody remember how much the annual subscription is?
I think it was $99, wasn't it?
I think it was $99, and they have had sales on it at least once that I'm aware of.
And then didn't they have like a three-year version for $200 or something?
I believe so. And then I think you can do 1 month for $9 or $9.95.
Yeah, they've got a pretty wide range of subscription options, and they had it on sale for a year for, I think, $39 recently. So maybe they'll do that more often.
It does also give you estimated time of arrival, and it can be pretty good either on vehicular or pedestrian. It calculates how fast it thinks you might typically walk, not you, but people, and will give you a pretty good idea of how long it'll take to get there. I've been amazed not only with the Seeing Eye GPS app, but with other ones. We use TomTom in our car, and I'm amazed sometimes that it gets it almost right down to the minute. We'll be going to Springfield, and it will say the arrival time. And as long as the traffic isn't really bad, you get there right around when you think you're going to.
Where do you go to change it from walking to driving?
When you put in a route, after you put in the address and save that, it asks you pedestrian or vehicle.
But, I mean, if you hit the point of
No, I think you have to start out in route, and when you put in route, one of the options for creating a route is to create a route from a point of interest, and then you look up the point of interest, and then it'll ask you vehicle or pedestrian.